Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to 3 or 5 people right now. Say hi to 3 or 5 people right now. Say hi to a few people around you. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. Yes, kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to a couple people if you've never seen them. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. This might be their first time here. Tell them your name. Tell them your social security. Tell them your email, your home address. Tell them all your personal business. Wow. Amen, amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? That was weak. That was weak. That was weak. Let's try that again. Good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. It's cold outside, but we are here, ready to worship, ready to gather. Man, we're so excited to serve with you guys. Can we say hello to all of our friends who are watching online right now, all of our online family? Thank you guys for tuning in. It is wonderful. My name is Javon. I get to be the campus pastor here at the church, and I'm so glad to serve you guys, so glad to be with you as we have stated before. I got a couple things we want to talk about before we jump into today's message. The very first thing is, if this is your first time here, welcome. We love you. We thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. But if this is your umpteenth time being here and you have yet to get connected and you want to know more about who we are as a church, right here is what we call a connection card. A connection card is the best way for us to, you ready? Connect with you. You like that, right? Pun intended. The connection card is the best way to connect with you, to get to reach out to you, to help you in any way that we can. But also, last week, I did a sermon about scripture reading. And we had such a great response because as a church, we put together what we call the Bible reading kit. For many of us, we want to start reading our Bibles a little bit more regularly, and we want to do that as often as possible, but we don't know where to start. If that's you, fill out this connection card and put at the bottom on the front right here and put Bible reading kit. If that is you, take the connection card, fill it out, put it in the black box in the back, or you can hand it to the connection team after service so you can get your year started off right reading the scriptures. Speaking of that, this Thursday, we're going to be continuing our growth night. Now, last week, we didn't do it because of the weather and everything, but we're back doing it this Thursday. We're going to be doing a topic on Christianity and science. Right? Yeah, a lot of you are excited about that. Christianity and science. Our pastor from our West Campus, Pastor Chet Beatler, he's going to be coming in and we're going to be doing a Q&A. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good conversation about, like, can Christianity and science coexist? Right? Can they coexist? And so if that's you and you want to know more about that, yeah, come this Thursday here at the church at 6:30 p.m. You do not want to miss. Our friends from our West Campus are planning on joining us as well. So it's going to be pretty packed is what we're expecting. So our West Campus friends, that's our Elyria campus, they're going to be coming over and joining us as we walk through the discussion between Christianity and science as well. But here at the church, I want you guys to know, we do what we do because of the great generosity from you guys. You know, one thing that we get to do every single year is this thing called Night to Shine. Anybody ever heard of Night to Shine? It's one of, amen, yes, our Night to Shine is our way of giving back to a community in need. And, you know, as a church, we get the opportunity to team up with Tim Tebow and his foundation on serving and putting on an awesome prom night-like for our special needs community. And I get the opportunity, and I get to host that every year. I'm the DJ, I'm the dancer, I'm the host, I'm a little bit of everything, but it's not about me. It's about serving our kings and queens. It's about serving and reminding ourselves that this is an area that needs the gospel to go forward in. So if that's you, if you're someone, you're looking to get involved, you're looking for the place to take the next step when it comes to your faith, come and talk to us about serving at our Night to Shine. Coming up this February, you don't want to miss. I can tell you right now, everybody that serves there, am I right? They're blessed by it. You walk out saying, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be a part of that. So if that's you, we want you to be a part of it. Today, we're going to be jumping in to our message series. If you're just joining in with us, the series is titled, Committed.
And we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 10 through 11. But I'm going to invite someone to come on up. Can I invite my friend Tanya to come on up? She's going to do scripture reading for each and every one of us.
Good morning, church. Today we will be reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. When I am done reading, I will say, "This is the word of the Lord." Then you will respond, "Thanks be to God." 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are open and ready to receive you and what you have to say to us today. May your word go forth and may we be willing to hear, but also give us the heart to respond to this message. Lord, we're not here just to be hearers. We're here to be faithful doers of your word. And that there are many of us in this room today that this message is much needed. Give us the humility to hear it. Give us the humility to hear it and to take along the truths that come with it as well. Father, we ask that this moment, at this time, that your spirit may enter and it may enlighten us and it may reveal to us the depths of the truths that you want us to have. May above all today, we delight in you. We don't delight in a sermon, not in certain points or a song or a building or people, but our delight would truly be you. You are the treasure. You are our source. And Lord, we come to you and asking you that you would do those things. May the meditation of my mouth and the words of all that I say be pleasing and accepting to you. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning once again, guys. We're jumping into week 3 of our series Committed. So to kind of catch everybody on up, so if this is your first time hanging out with us, or if you've kind of forgotten, because I know you forget my sermons and, you know, and all of that. But anyway, we're moving on. But to catch everybody up, we're talking about how to get the year started right. We all want this one thing. We all want to grow, right? We all want to mature. We all want to be better, right? We know that, listen, if we repeat 2025, we won't survive, right? We know there's just some new things that we must do. So we talked about that this year is the year of trust. That above all, our aim is to trust God in everything, right? Trust God with our lives. Trust God with our families. Trust God with our plans. Trust God with our health. Trust God with our finances. This is the year of trust. We were planted in Proverbs chapter 3. You guys remember that passage, Proverbs chapter 3? Trust in the Lord with all your... Yes, some of you are listening. I like that. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. And then it says it would be bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. This is the year of trust, right? This is the year of trusting in God. And so we've been walking week by week what we need to do and what we need to establish so that you and I won't repeat what we were and what we did, and we can find newness every single day. Coming up this week is my son's sixth birthday. And it's my firstborn, it's his sixth birthday. I can't believe it's been 6 years already since this guy entered into my life. It's been awesome. It's been amazing. It hasn't been challenging. Parenting, for some reason, is not challenging for me, you know, and I find parenting very easy. I'm totally lying right now.
But it's been a very, very, very interesting time watching him get older and get bigger. The other day, we had him open up presents. Now, his birthday hasn't come yet, but we had him open presents. And, you know, he opened like three or four of them. And before you know it, this dude is literally everywhere playing with different toys, or trying to do them all at once, right? He's opening up one toy. Then he opens up another toy. Then he opens up a different toy. And then he opens up several toys. And he's just really, really busy at this moment. I mean, like, extremely busy. He's everywhere, right? He's everywhere, and, like, it's just like there's, like, no calming him down, doing a lot of moving. Not very productive. Busy, but not very productive. I mean, you name it. It is just chaos at that moment. That's just toddlers, right? Toddlers are easily distracted, right? They're on to one thing, and then 2 minutes later, they're on to a whole nother thing as well. Before you know it, they're on to something else, right? And, you know, the more that I watch my toddlers, the more that I watch my kids, that all seems so familiar to me, right? Because, like myself, I'm very busy. I'm a busy guy, right? Right? I'm a busy guy. You know, I do a lot of things, and I have a lot of responsibilities, and, you know, all this other things. I do things on the side or apart from the church to help, you know, bring in money for the family. I mean, I'm busy, right? But I've noticed that in past that I've been busy, but being busy doesn't mean that I'm growing, right? And if we could take a step back, we all are busy, right? We all are busy, busy with our plans, busy with our calendars, busy with our schedule. We just got full lives, right? But still, even in all the busyness, even in all the madness, even in all the running around that we do, and believe me, we all run around a lot, don't we? We all get home at the end of the night, and we're ready to go to sleep, ready to put on our show, ready to scroll and go to bed because we are tired from the busy day. But we might have busy days, but that doesn't mean we have growing hearts, right? We can be very, very busy, but still miss what matters the most. And I think the reason why growth lacks in my life, right? Again, not busyness. There's a difference. But I think growth lacks in my life is because I'm focused on the wrong things. Right? I'm focused on the wrong things. And again, our focus determines whether we grow or we stay the same. Our focus determines whether we grow or we repeat. Whether we're renewed or we do it again and again. We can get a lot done this year, friends. We got a lot we got planned to do. We got a lot of things that we want to accomplish. We got a lot of places that we want to go. We want to advance in our jobs, and we want to make more money, and we want to do all these things, which are fine, which are great. But what happens is sometimes we allow busy to get in front of growing. And I think this is what I believe today's passage is going to do for us, what the Apostle Peter is going to teach us today in this particular writing, is that life's ultimate aim is to be God-centered. Now, why is that? Because a God-centered life is a life that keeps you growing. Let me say that. Keep that up there for them, Logan. A God-centered life, a God-centered focused. See that? A focus on God. It's a life that keeps you growing. Yeah, there may be things that I may not get accomplished, right, outwardly, but inwardly, there is more depth. There begins to be more depth. Sure, my credit score may dip, in which I'm praying this year it goes up. I'm just praying for my credit score. Will y'all pray? You know, I'm trying to get a better plan. I'm trying to do a little better thing, trying to be a little wiser, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying. You know, I'm waiting for that tax return to hook me up. But anyway, I'm trying, right? and all of that. Listen, I'm not saying to ignore that, but I'm saying that if you and I take our eyes off this wonderful truth, that focusing on being God-centered, this is what keeps you growing. This is what makes you healthy, right? And I know, and I love using that word healthy because it's a buzzword. It's a word we know we need, but it's a reality that we lack. Healthy. Healthy souls, healthy minds, healthy families, right? Healthy perspective, all of that. So 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to be planted at about being this reality. A God-centered life is a life that keeps you and I growing. 1 Peter is a letter from the Apostle Peter. If you know your Bible, Peter is the guy that denied Jesus three times. He didn't know him. He denied him. And then the rooster crowed and then all of that. You've heard of those stories, right? Peter's the guy that's a little bit off the cuff and likes to use certain language. he's kind of like me, right? He just, you never know what he's going to do in the next moment and the next time. But Peter writes this letter to these churches, and he's trying to encourage them on life and principles and everything. And he writes this particular passage, and he writes about it in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to read this one more time, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. And it says this. It says, "Now serve each other according to the gift each person has received." Now listen to this passage. This part is where I want you to be centered in. As good managers of God's diverse gifts. Keep that up there for them. He says, as good managers of God, right? Another way to translate this, if you have a ESV or a NASB, the word managers can also be translated as stewards, right? Now, we don't use the word stewards in our culture today, right? Stewardship is something that's very familiar, especially in the teachings of Jesus. Here's what stewardship, all it means. To steward something, right? To steward something means you're being faithful with what you've been given, right? That's what it means to steward something. It means that you are caring for something that has been given to you. Right? You guys remember when Game Boys first came out? Remember Game Boys? Yeah. And you remember the Game Boys? It was the A, the B, the up, down, left, right, select, start, right? I was obsessed with Game Boy, right? The problem was I didn't have one. So I used to always have to use my buddy's Game Boy, right? He used to always let me play with it and let me borrow it, which was the problem to begin with, right? I was 13 years old, and I was excited to have it. And then one day, I ended up losing his Game Boy. Yeah, I ended up losing his Game Boy, and just wasn't fun, wasn't great, right? Right? And he asked me, he's like, "Hey, I need my Game Boy back. We're going out of town." He's like, "You know what? I'll get you when you come back." You know? And I tried to buy another one. Didn't work out. Ended up telling him the truth and everything. One would say I was unfaithful with what I was given. What was given to me as a gift to enjoy, I mishandled. Right? You would call that, put that back up, throw it in Logan, put that verse back up. You would call that being a bad manager, right? Being an unfaithful manager, right? And here's what the Apostle Peter wants us to understand. He wants us to understand this. Here's what we need to be focused on. We need to be focused on being faithful to God. We need to be focused on being faithful to God. Why? Because all that we have, everything that is good in our lives, comes from a giver named Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons why you and I have a hard time growing is because we haven't committed our lives to being faithful with what's been given to us. You know, the one thing that gets me in trouble the most is the reason why I have a hard time in being faithful with what God has given me is because I haven't appreciated the
good God has given me. I haven't sat back and said to myself, everything that I have has been given, not earned. See, we live in this society where, again, we have this merit-based mindset, right? If I work a certain amount and if I do a certain things, if I look a certain way, well, then I deserve it. Not knowing that behind the scenes of everything that is good in our lives, the thing that you're sitting next to, that thing that sits in your pocket, that thing you're going to get into to get home, that place you're going to go when you go when you get to your address, everything has been handed to us. It has been given to you and I by the grace of God. And the reason why I've lacked growing in my own life is because I've mismanaged God's good gifts in my life. I've mismanaged God's good gifts, right? And instead, my focus has been on comparison. Anybody like me, where you get something nice and then 2 weeks later you're comparing it to something else? Yeah. Right? Anybody, you're always in the back of your mind saying, oh, I wish I had bigger, better, and stronger this. Right? And you find yourself always looking at what somebody else has, and you're overlooking what you have. Overlooking what you have. Right? One of the other reasons why I mishandle God's gift, it may not be just in comparing. It may be in this area called complacency. I can be a bit lazy, right? I can be very, very lazy. And my complacency, it has cost me a lot. It has cost me a lot from growing, right? It may not be that. Maybe for you, it's complaining. Complaining, right? Right? If I'm not comparing, if I'm not lazy, then I'm complaining. Complaining about every small detail. Complaining about every small thing in my life more and more. And the Apostle Peter says this, friends, if you and I want to grow, we must focus on being faithful to God and what he has given us. And faithfulness means this. Faithfulness is doing well with what God put in your hands. That's all faithfulness is. It's doing well with what God put in your hands. It's taking care of the things God has given to us, right? It's being invested in those areas more and more. You want to know one area that God calls us to be faithful in? Our families. Our families. Being faithful to our loved ones, right? Investing in them more and more. Giving attention in those areas as often as we can. Because our families are a blessing from God. Sure, they're jacked up. Sure, they're crazy. Sure, they have their moments like you do. But at the end of the day, it's a great blessing from God, right? And if I'm not careful, I can be, see, the temptation for me this year is to be overly focused on self. That's the temptation. Now, God is not against you taking care of yourself. He just doesn't want you to be overly consumed with yourself. There's a difference between caring for yourself and being overly consumed with self to the point where you've overlooked the blessings God has given you. Maybe it starts with us being faithful with our families. Maybe it starts with us being faithful with our finances, right? I know that's one thing all of us are thinking about this year, every moment, right? Making sure we have enough, making sure we can pay this, making sure we can do this. What if we say to ourselves, the best way we're going to handle this is if everything starts with God, especially when it comes to our finances, right? How about your own physical bodies? How about your bodies? Because it's a gift from God, right? The Bible says that your body is a temple. And you want to know the one thing they would do in the temple if you're in an ancient Near East? They would treat the temple with purity. You didn't step into a temple doing whatever you wanted to do. You didn't put into the temple just random things. Why do you think when Jesus goes into the temple, he kicks everybody out? Why? Because the temple was a sacred place. The place of beauty, holiness. And what if we were faithful in that regards when it came to our own physical bodies, right? Faithful with our relationships. How about this? How about this? One of the ways that we can be faithful to God, be good stewards, be good managers, is at our jobs. Is at our jobs. Because whether you like it or not, that job is a gift from God. It may not be perfect, right? It may not be where you ultimately want to be forever, but it is a gift from God. It is something, and at the end of the day, instead of us so being overly focused on the next step of life, on the next stage of life, what if we were faithful with where we are right now? What if we were faithful with what's going on in the now? Not trying to be so overly focused on the later, but focused on the now, showing up to your job on time. Not, you know, if you're supposed to be there at 12, not 11:59. Right, showing up to your job on time, bringing your best attitude, right? Bringing your best attitude, bringing our best selves to build the best atmosphere as much as we can. Not giving people an attitude, even though we think people deserve our attitude, right? 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 This is what Peter says. Peter says, you and I were called to be stewards. We're called to be faithful to God. And I believe this, when we start with that direction, when we start with that mindset, we take care of everything else well. Not that things are going to be perfect, not that life's going to be easy, but when I can look at my life and I can say, this is a gift from God, and I'm going to do my best in this area. I believe, friends, that's when you grow. I believe that's when your marriage gets healthier. I believe that's when your family gets stronger. I believe that's when you become wiser. When you say, this is not mine. God gave me this. God gave me this. It was his grace all along. Because here's the thing, grace fuels faithfulness. Grace fuels our faithfulness, right? It keeps us moving forward in that direction. See, I believe a God-centered life is being God-centered in faithfulness. Point number two, now we talked about a God-centered faithfulness. Now I want to talk about a God-centered service, right? God-centered faithfulness, meaning being faithful, taking care of your responsibilities, doing what God called you to do. Doing well with what God put into your hands. And now, how do we do that? Well, we do that with a God-centered service. Look at verse 10 again in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says this. He says, serve each other according to the gift each person has received. As good managers, we just talked about that, of God's diverse gifts. Verse 11, he goes on, he says, whoever speaks, Javon's doing that right now. Whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's words. My job is not to give my opinion. My job is to give you God's word, right? Whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's words. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. I love this particular passage. What Peter, if I say Paul, I mean Peter. We just talk about Paul a lot. What Peter is saying is this, friends. Real growth, one of the ways God grows us is when we serve other people. One of the ways God's grow. See, growth isn't so much tied to what I learn, but growth is also tied to what I do. Does that make sense?
See, I think a lot of us, we want God to change us. We want God to mature us. We want God to help shake off addiction. We want God to help shake off certain behaviors. We want God to do all of that, and God is for that. But one of the ways God does that is when you and I take the time and we serve one another. You know, I've gone through a lot of schooling when it comes to pastoring, right? I've gone through classes. I've sat down with people who are way smarter than I am. I have a lot more degrees than I do, right? Just all around, right? Right? And I sat down and I sat under them for a long, long time trying to get down this pastoring thing. But can I tell you right now, nothing prepared me for this role more than serving people. I learned a lot. Don't get me wrong. I learned these special languages. I learned all the theology. I learned a lot, and it's good. You come up to me, you have a question about creation. You come up to me, you have a question about the Bible. Hopefully I have enough knowledge to be able to answer that. But can I tell you right now, none of that pales in comparison to what prepared me, but also what grew me more than serving others. Than serving others. Now, I believe this is one fundamental truth that a lot of Christians, we need to strongly connect to the most. If I'm going to grow with God, I need to go with God. Does that make sense? If I'm going to grow in the Lord, I need to go with the Lord. And what do I mean by that? Because at the end of the day, God grows us when we give him our yes. When we give him our yes, some of the best ways, one of the most deepest ways God is going to grow you in your life is through the season of serving, right? Why? Because God grows you through serving, because serving creates the space for transformation, right? Serving, it stretches your faith. It matures your character, right? It forms Christ in you more and more. One of the reasons why I believe serving grows us, right? You want to know why serving is so vital and so important to our growth? You want to know why? Are you ready for this? Let me tell you the secret. Because people are difficult. But I've noticed this. God grows us most in what challenges us the most. Does that make sense? God grows us the most in what challenges us the most. For instance, ask any parent in this room today how much they realize how broken they are when they had children. Right? There's a lot. All those who are smiling, you're the ones who have children. I'll talk to you right now. You realize very quick how selfish you are when at 2 a.m. you're waking up to a screaming baby. Right? Right? Or two, whatever it may be. Because it's a moment of challenge, right? Right? It's a moment where you have to take your eyes off self. Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, I'm exhausted, but I'm doing this because this person, this child, is in need, right? Right? Is in need. And let me just be honest with you. I just got to be honest with you. I've grown the most in those challenges, right? Right? See, God doesn't grow you by comfort. God doesn't grow you by convenience. I know your desire is for comfort and convenience, but God does great work in what challenges you the most. God does great work in what challenges you the most. And I believe that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, if you're a Christian today, our job, listen, the very heart of the gospel is not just that Jesus saves you,
but Jesus sends you as well. It's not just Christ just saves us, and now we're free from hell, and now we don't, you know, we just got to make sure we don't say bad words or watch bad movies and stay in our lane. No, like, the heart of Christianity is what God did for me, I'm going to do for others. And I'm going to serve others because I believe that it brings great blessing on our souls more and more in our lives, right? And servanthood, it begins with our attitude. And God calls us to serve through the gifts that he's given to us. Now, when you read this word gifts, I need you to understand there's what we call talents and then what they call spiritual gifts, right? There are things that you're really good at, right? But then there are things that God has given to you for his particular and special purposes. And as Christians and as those who call themselves followers, we are called to utilize our gifts. Now, there are many gifts, and one gift is not greater than any other gift. All are the same. All do one purpose, to build people up and to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, right? There's the gift of speaking, which I believe that I have, right? The gift of communicating. Then there's the gift of wisdom, which I don't have, right? There's the gift of prayer, right? There are so many gifts. If you're someone today and you're saying to yourself, I want to serve, I want to get a part. I'm sorry, I want to be a part. I want to step out. I want to see what God wants to do in my life. Well, we also have what we call the spiritual gifts test. Now, if you are somebody and you want to know what your spiritual gift is, you don't know what it is, right? Right? God gifts us based off our personality, right? How he has wired us, right? Right? God has wired you differently than me and me to you. So if that's you, fill out this connection card. And we would love to get you connected to the spiritual gifts test so you can know what spiritual gift God has given to you and I, right? And I love Peter's language. Peter says, serve one another through your gifts by the strength. Look at verse 11. He says, serve one another through the strength God gives you. God gives you strength. Can I talk about parenting again? I know some of you are not parents, but this is the best analogy I can give. You know, also the one thing parenting showed me not only how broken I am, but how much I need God's help. Right? And God's going to call us to serve in a way where we need to lean on his help. God's going to call us to serve in a way where we're not leaning on our own understanding. Sounds a lot like Proverbs 3, right? We're not leaning on our own experience. But God's going to supply to us and give to us to achieve his special purposes more and more. Peter says this, God will be everything you need to do all he has called you to do. God will be everything you need to do all that he has called you to do, right? Because it's his strength. I don't stand up here on my own. You know what I say before I come up here to preach? God help me. Thanks, Pastor. Because all this is great. All this preparation is great. This study, all of this is great, but unless he shows up, nothing good happens. Unless he shows up here, unless he speaks, unless he's present, unless he communicates, all of this is for nothing. And the same thing goes for the work that we do for him. God, unless you show up, my family, we won't be where we need to be. Unless you show up in my marriage, unless you show up in my finances, unless you show up, God, I'm asking for you to show up. I'm depending on you. I'm drawing strength from you more and more. And then Peter lands with this as we close. Peter lands with this. We talked about a God-centered faithfulness. That's our why. God-centered faithfulness. And now we're talking about the how. Then we just talked about the how, God-centered service. And now we're talking about a God-centered purpose. A God-centered purpose. All right? And here's what Peter says. Peter says, do all of it. Your service to others, your faithfulness to God, for the glory of God. And here's what living out the glory of God looks like. This is very simple, very easy terms for you. This is the simple call for you and I. This should be our focus. And watch how much this brings blessing in our lives. Listen to this. Living for the glory of God is allowing his character to be visible through you. That's what glorifies God. Is allowing his character, his personhood, his very goodness, his very nature to be visible through you. To be visible through you, because you know what your family needs, you know what your job needs, you know what the what your loved ones need, you know what those who you care about need. They don't need more of you. They need more of Christ through you and in you. They don't need more of your shenanigans. They don't need more of your attitude. They don't need more of your unhealthiness. They need the character of God in you, through you, more. Do you more, friends, right? But it starts with us saying to ourselves, when we walk into our jobs, when we go home at night, when we enter into certain places, we walk into every place saying, Jesus is the light. He calls me to be the light. How can I be the light? How can I demonstrate this? No matter how hard my day has been, no matter how difficult this week has been, no matter how hard this year has been, and believe me, a lot of us know this year hasn't gotten started off the best way we would like, but at the end of the day, the focus is God's glory. The focus is God's purpose. The focus is not ease, it's not comfort, but how can I make Jesus Christ more known? How can I make him more relevant? How can I make him stand out more and more? And it starts with you and I carrying this attitude into every space, into every place, into every corner, into every conversation as often as we can. Not allowing the dread or the dysfunction or the weariness of our lives tank this. Because I can tell you right now, if this becomes our focus, everything gets healthier. Our souls get healthier. The people around us, they have a sense of God in us. And they sense God's presence with them as well, too. What if this was our ultimate aim every day? How can I allow God to show up through me today? How can I do that? How can I do that? And I believe, friends, that will bring great blessings that we're looking for. A God-centered life is allowing God to work through you in the strength he supplies for the good of others and for the glory of Christ. And for the glory of Christ. Friends, this is our call today, to be faithful to God. Start with God. I'm being faithful to him. My accountability is to him. But also to go out and say, one of the ways I demonstrate that faithfulness is serving others. Living for his glory. And his glory alone. And watch that bring much, much growth in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would convict us. Convict us to this reality that our ultimate aim is to be true to you. Is to have an attitude that says, God, I do what I do because of who you are to me. Because what you have given to me, to the way you have blessed me, and all that I have didn't come because how great I am, how smart I am, or how well-educated I am, or experienced I am, but it's because of how good you are. So, Lord, let me, allow me to steward all that is in my life faithfully so I can honor you and I can serve others well. Would you bless us today? Would you give us this spirit today? Would you help us to draw near to this very great reality that you're calling us to get off the sidelines and to start stepping forward in faith and to start serving you in a unique and powerful way so we can see the good work you do in us and the good work you do around us. I pray for that conviction today. I pray that someone says, God is speaking to me today. He's calling me to step forward to give him my yes. So, Lord, we say yes to you first. We say yes to you in all things, in everything, every day. Help us to keep that yes. Strengthen our yes. Our yes is sustained not because of our commitment, because of your commitment to us. So we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, strengthen our yes to you. Bless us, I pray. It's in your perfect name. Amen.